Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season, and you receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN, that's code KSN, for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, we're so close you could taste it.
We are here. It is, 11 days until kickoff, so super excited to get into the season and actually have new things to talk about. It's great.
How about it? And this is our season preview show, okay? So we're going to get all the insight from T. Frank. Once you're done listening to T. Frank, you will be an expert on Penn State football. No pressure, T. Frank. Let's start with...
Oh, I live under pressure.
All right, we're going to see. We'll decide that. All right, let's start with this. Tell me I'm wrong. This season is all about the quarterback, Sean Clifford.
Yes, and that's like saying the day is all about the sun rising. There are a lot of factors that go into that. I'm not going to get into astrophysics because I don't know anything about it, but... if I want to add nuance to that, I would say that it's all about what the quarterback and the environment he's in. So we've talked about it before, Mike Yurcich, his ability to create a good offense around Sean Clifford, and then the play of the positional players, the play of the offensive line. There's what I think are a lot of wild cards on the offensive line in terms of guys we have really high opinions of that we know relatively little about. And I'm including Juice Scruggs and even to a degree Caden Wallace in there as far as young, talented players that can play up to a very high level, but we have not actually seen them do it for more than a couple of snaps at a time. So when it comes to that, I think it's really about the ecosystem in which the quarterback is in, because he is not going to create his own ecosystem, in my opinion. He's not going to be a guy that is the driving force. I think he has to be a partner in this. So it really is the offense as a whole determining what Sean Clifford is, if that's the nuance you want. But in the end, it is all about Sean Clifford. And if he proves me wrong, it's all fine.
Well, we'll get to the offensive line in a minute. You brought them up. But continuing with Sean Clifford, I like how you put it. It's the ecosystem that he'll be in. How much of that is going to depend on Mike Yurcich? And what can Mike Yurcich do to make his Sean Clifford's ecosystem a little bit easier on him?
Be omnipotent and call good plays. That will be really, you know, calling good plays and having them be right. So putting your quarterback, it's about eliminating variables, right? Put your quarterback in an ideal situation so that he can go then execute, and then it really is on him to make the right read and make the right throw. And that's where every once in a while you hear after a game, a coordinator, whether it's Brent Pry or one of the offensive coordinators in the past, they say, you know, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then there's calls that I wish I had back. The other team, they get you sometimes. And eliminating as many of those for Mike Yurcich of they got us, they put a blitz, they knew we were going to do this, and they put out a good blitz. They got to the quarterback. Eliminating those, I think, early on, especially in games and in the season, and providing that level of confidence for Sean Clifford, I think, is going to be a big part of that.
Well, the play calling between the coordinators oftentimes is a game of chess, who anticipates this or that. Specifically, what is it you want to avoid with Sean Clifford? How do you eliminate the mistakes that he made so often last year when they started 0-5?
So that's a great question. And to me, it's about, I don't know what they're going to put on his plate. as far as checks to the line of scrimmage. That's really one thing I haven't had a chance to ask Mike Yersich, is how much is on the quarterback at the line of scrimmage to make adjustments and things like that. So, but whether if he's calling the plays and he's making the adjustments pre-snap, making sure that Sean Clifford is on the same page and he knows what the coverage is most likely to be, because when Sean Clifford is surprised post-snap, no quarterback does well, but he has shown a propensity to lock onto a target before the snap and not read the coverage properly. So, again, teaching him and getting him in a comfort level with those elements, I think, is a big part of what Mike Yersich can do to make all of that easier and smoother on Clifford. And he's, by the way, I think he's shown in the past the ability to do that. So I'm confident he can. It's just then about, you know, how do the chips fall? And that's going to be kind of a large part of that conversation is what happens when you're in those situations, because I do think that he'll create a good offense, and he has created a good offense, and he'll use the skill position players to their best benefit. And he's a good play caller. I think that all the things about him, as far as, you know, the creativity of the position, kind of the ability to do those things on the fly and make the right decisions in those moments, I think he's shown evidence of doing all of those things. So I would be encouraged, if you're a Penn State football fan, that I don't know that right out of the box it's going to be good, but eventually this offense should be an effective offense. Okay.
You alluded to the offensive line, which could be a key for Sean Clifford, how well they perform. Here's the positive spin. Two stud tackles, Mike Miranda and Juice Scruggs have shown they can do the job, and the one last position open, there's plenty of options. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. It's just, as you said, it's the positive spin. And then the counter argument is Juice Scruggs has less than 100 snaps in his career, and Caden Wallace has less than 500. And that's really what it is. And I, as much as I'm also counting on Mike Miranda as a solid, dependable piece of this line, he has less than 100 snaps at center. And are there going to be errant snaps? That's really my question with him, is not necessarily the blocking or the mental side, but literally snapping the football. He's been doing it for a long time, but has he been doing it in the game? And that's, to me, it's just another small variable that I'm keeping an eye out for, even though I don't foresee it being a huge problem. But then it just becomes that right side of the offensive line. They're very talented. I'm very high on Juice Scruggs. I think he can have a breakout season. I think he can be an all Big Ten candidate with his level of skill. But there's also, when you have that potential, there's the other side of that coin, is we haven't seen a full gambit of what he does against good and bad players. We've only seen what he's done basically against Illinois and Michigan State, who were very bad last year. So it's just the idea, again, keeping an eye out for what might be the problems. That might be the problem on that right side of the offensive line, is just they're young and they may have some growing pains, despite the fact that Scruggs is an older player at this point, but he's young when it comes to his snaps on the field.
Poor T. Frank, you just won't learn your lesson. Don't you realize we don't want to hear the other side of the coin?
Well, you know, whether you want to or not, that's what I'm bringing to the table, because otherwise, you know, we're all just agreeing and singing Kumbaya. Somebody's got to throw a little bit of sandpaper in this and see what happens.
You're making me take my medicine. It's good for me. All right, let's one more question on the offense. Is that running back situation? There's no such thing as too much talent, but there's a lot of guys there, a lot of options. James Franklin says he wants to go with a three-man rotation there. Yeah, you could do that. But do they need a lead dog, the alpha guy back there? And if so, who is that guy?
I go back and forth on this all the time. I don't know, because the running back is a product of the offense in general. So that's just from a football theory and the analytics perspective of the running back is a product of the blocking and the play calling. And then what he does above and beyond that is really what he contributes to the offense. But if you're being met 2 yards in the backfield, ask Saquon Barkley at the beginning of his career how that went. And he's the most talented running back I've ever seen. So you do have those things to contend with, but they do have guys that break tackles, and Noah Kane is a guy that has proven in limited snaps in his freshman year that he can do more than what the offense gives him. I'm very confident in that. And Kevon Lee surprised me, and he continues to prove me wrong as he's more than just a big back with straight line speed. He's shown that he can do a little bit more than that. So I'm not concerned with the production of the from that standpoint, but if you're asking me, do they have a lead dog? Do they have a superstar at the position? I think they've got a lot of A minuses. I think they got a lot of guys that are just missing that secret ingredient to be a lead back, but they do have the depth and the positional skills that they're not going to be missing anything at that position. I do think that it is going to be a strength of the team that will carry a lot of the production.
Let's go quickly to the receivers. How do you feel about these tight ends? I know Pat Freiermuth is gone. He was a star player. He's an NFL player.
Sure.
But I feel pretty good about these two guys coming back, Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson.
Yeah, and again, it's the same conversation we had with Scruggs and Caden Wallace. Is there's a lot of super talented, super young players, and I'm very high on the ability of these guys. I've said several times this is the most talented tight end room in the country, with the caveat of I have no idea about any other tight end room in the country. There's just a bunch of guys that are 6'3 through 6'6 and all run sub 4'6 40s. They're big, they're fast, they're strong, they've got a variety of skills. But again, we've even seen in flashes, last year the production wasn't great. There were some big plays, but consistency and the ability to do it down in and down out and becoming a better blocker and all of those things that they know about and they can do, they have to do it at least once before it's a lock that they're superstars. One of them, I believe the production from this position will be good in the scope of the offense. I don't know how they're going to be used, but they're super talented and you should feel really good about the prospects. Again, one of those things is I don't really know what to expect because there are a couple of different outcomes. They're super talented, and that's kind of where I'll leave it, is I'm excited to see what they can do on the field.
I feel like the fact that there's two of them, you're at least going to get competent play from tight end. They also shown the
willingness to block. Yeah, and Tyler Warren, there's three of them. Tyler Warren is another dude who's super talented, so they can go three deep. That's the exciting part.
Last question in the couple seconds we have left. We know who the first two wide receivers are. Who's going to step up at the third wide receiver?
From what we heard last week, it'll be Keandre Lamb. I'm sorry, it'll be Cam Sullivan Brown. The acronyms are always getting me. CSB and then KLS. Keandre Lambert Smith will be the second guy at that position. But Cam, the consistent one, will be the starter.
Very good. That's it for quarter number one. In quarter number two, we're going to go to the other side of the ball. We'll look at the defense. Stay tuned for that.
The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 on any NFL game during the first week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.